Imagine living your life after 50 and feeling energized and excited about your future. Welcome to the Women in the Middle podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to figure out what they want and create the life they deserve. Here's your host and master certified life coach, Susie Rosenstein.
Hey there. This week we're talking about the four steps to solve your midlife happiness mystery. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, Women in the Middle. I'm your host, Susie Rosenstein, your master certified coach, midlife mentor, and I am so glad to be here with you again. Now, I have to say, I've been thinking about this topic for a while, and I have a feeling you have been too. Figuring out how to be happier, or how to be happy, it's a big one, and you know what that means, right? It also means figuring out why you're not as happy as you want to be. Like, what is getting in your way? Sometimes it's a big mystery, and who doesn't like a big mystery? This whole thing kind of takes me into the Wayback Machine with math homework. You think you know the equation that will help you move forward and do well on the test. You've studied, you're aware of what you're supposed to do, but wah, wah, not so much. At least that's how it was with me and math. It does feel like a mystery. You're doing the things and you're stuck. Or you're not doing the things, and you're also stuck. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But just quick, before we dive in, I want to invite you to have a book club type of experience with this podcast, Women in the Middle. I like to call this a chance to amplify your listening experience with all the good midlife stuff we're talking about here on the show. This is perfect for you when you're craving connection with more women in the middle, because we meet together on Zoom. So you'll be hanging with me and other listeners of the podcast. Each month, we take a deeper dive into one of the episodes together so we can share and learn to apply the insights together. It is super fun, and the only thing that is missing is you. And if you're listening in real time, I'm running a springtime happiness special right now for 50% off. Does that sound good? Just head over to susierosenstein.com and click the podcast tab, and you'll see the podcast club listed there. Can't wait to see you in my Zoom square. And one more update, if you haven't checked out my new podcast yet, Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, please do. We're having a lot of fun over there and sharing a ton of good stuff about the reality of running a business when you're a woman over 50. I would greatly appreciate your support too if you could share it with your friends and colleagues that you know would enjoy it. It's on iTunes and all the podcast places, including Spotify and your favorite podcast apps. It's also on my website at susierosenstein.com under the podcast tab. Okay, now let's dive into this week's topic, which is all about the four steps to solve your midlife happiness mystery. Let's start with a question. Why is happiness so elusive in midlife anyway? What's going on? Maybe it's the treadmill of life, autopilot thinking and doing. Maybe you lost track of who you are and what you want. And maybe you just kind of surrendered to stuckness. It can feel incredibly frustrating when you're stuck and want to get unstuck and want to be happier than you are. You might even think there's something wrong with you. You might be thinking, everything in my life looks so good on paper. I should be more content. I get it. That's what happened to me too. When I was stuck in my J-O-B between 45 and 50 years old, this is totally what I was thinking. My job looked great on paper. I worked for a well-regarded institution that helped people. Research-based, great reputation. I had benefits too, even though I was part-time. I worked with really nice, smart, caring people. We were all quite committed to the cause of the organization. I'd been there for a long time and got a lot of vacation time and generous sick time. My kids' orthodontics were even covered. It looked great on paper, and the golden handcuffs were feeling tight. It was great until it wasn't. I was fine in my job until I wasn't. And the way I was finally able to describe what I was feeling was that I was no longer content. Have you felt that way? It felt subtle sometimes too, but it ramped up. And it all looked good on paper. For sure, all kinds of things can look good on paper. Your life, your kids, your career, your vacations, your smiling pictures on Facebook and Instagram. But what you make all of it mean when you think about it in the context of your age and stage of life That, my friend, is another story. Every once in a while, I bet you also wonder if maybe, just maybe, you're having a midlife crisis. And that sounds scary. It's got the word crisis in it. Now that I've been working with midlife women since 2014, I know firsthand how common it is to feel this way. While that may be comforting at some level, it brings a lot of things up. If you're not feeling that happy and you wonder about how bad things really are, if you wonder if you're so stuck that it's hopeless, if you're feeling a lot of pressure to live your best life, that's what everybody says and all the books are saying that and it's everywhere, all the TV shows and certainly a lot of podcasts. If you wonder if what you're experiencing is actually midlife crisis worthy, and underneath all of it, I know that you know you're meant for more. So there's all this stuff going on, and I think it all begs a very specific question. Here it comes. Do you believe you can unstick yourself? Again, this can be subtle, but the way you answer this will lead you to an awareness of what you're actually thinking, what you believe. And this, my friend, is the first step to solve your midlife happiness mystery. Become aware of what you're thinking about your midlife stuckness now in depth. The path forward can seem so hidden. Clarity can feel so far away. And the biggie, believing in your ability to unstick yourself, can also feel almost impossible sometimes when you're so stuck and in it. That's why it's so important to learn about some mindfulness skills when you want to get unstuck. They are so good for this. You may not know what to think, but you will likely notice how you're feeling. That's a good start. If you're feeling hopeless, sad, agitated, frustrated, incapable, ill-equipped, overwhelmed, confused, super stuck, just to name a few, here's the thing. You could be thinking some or all of these some of the time or most of the time. It's a really weird phase when you're in it. But the thing is that you're thinking something that's creating however it is that you are feeling. You're thinking something that is creating how you're feeling. You might believe something that's just not helping you out right now. So this step is about raising your awareness of why you're feeling how you're feeling. Now, step two is what to do next. You have to think about how you would need to feel to move forward. So let's pause here for a minute. Imagine yourself with clarity about what you want at this point in your life and in your next chapter. Just imagine. So you're some amount of time ahead of where you are now, and you've got clarity, like you have a direction. What would you feel like to have that clarity? What's the feeling? To know what you want, to know how you want to focus and spend your time, to know that you're on that path to happiness, contentment, fulfillment, that you're in that space now. Okay? Imagine that. It's in the future, but I want you to think about it now. Now, the same principle applies as it did in step one. The way you think and what you believe will create that feeling for you. To feel this new way, your brain will have to be in a different headspace. No pun intended. Oh, maybe that is a pun intended. Anyway, you know what I mean. Your brain will have to be in a different headspace. So I think you can get that that makes a lot of sense. It's hard to move in the direction you want when you feel incredibly frustrated and confused, for example. So you're feeling feelings that help you show up in one way, but you want to be showing up in another way. So here's the thing. You probably won't want to play around with this mindfulness stuff. Well, maybe if you're listening to this podcast, you do. But when left to your own devices, it can get frustrating because you have to slow down. So you may not want to slow down and play around with some of the questions I'm going to be asking you. When you're really honest with yourself, you might notice that you just want a quick fix. Because after all, time is definitely flying by. It is so common to feel time pressure. There's this urgency we have. We love to think about how much time we don't have instead of how much time we do have. So we embrace the idea to just focus on creating a solution to get unstuck fast. And that means doing something, and more specifically, probably changing something. And I bet that sounds familiar. But even these actions alone won't really solve your stuck problem, your happiness mystery, because you are still going to have thoughts about whatever it is that you changed or did. And that's where things can get messy and where mindfulness skills really do come into play. Jon Kabat-Zinn defines mindfulness this way. Mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. And then, sometimes he adds, in the service of self-understanding and wisdom. I love this definition because it emphasizes that mindfulness is awareness on purpose. You can get better at it. You can know that you're probably not going to want to slow down and do that thinking, but just that awareness helps you do the thing you want to do on purpose. Awareness on purpose. And you can get really good at this. So when you're stuck, you may want to scurry away from the emotional stuff and the thinking stuff and just get to the good stuff, what you're calling the good stuff, which has to do with fixing the problem quickly, the change part, where you're happy and floating around with balloons or something like that. Somehow balloons and butterflies and daisies and all that stuff. It's like this quick image that you have around happiness. So when I was thinking about saying this, I was like, oh yeah, balloons. Balloons are a quick fix to happiness, aren't they? Okay, anyway, here's what I mean, not the balloon part. So weight loss examples, let's think about that for a second. Weight loss examples tend to be a really easy thing to relate to when you're learning how to get unstuck. So here's an example that most of us midlife gals can usually relate to, losing weight. When you have a goal to lose some weight, you have thoughts about how accomplishing the goal is going to make you feel. For example, you might think that everything will be so much better and you'll feel less self-conscious and more confident, or whatever positive emotion it is for you, once you lose the weight. So let's say you want to lose 20 pounds. If you're thinking about it, oh my gosh, when I release that weight, I am just going to be walking around with such confidence. But once you lose the weight, it's common to feel the same way you did before you lost it. That is, not confident and self-conscious, because you haven't changed your actual thoughts about yourself. This is because most amazing midlife gals aren't as aware of their thinking as they could be. Your thoughts create your feelings every damn day. That's what happens. This is great news too, though, because your thoughts are what you have control over in your life. So, my amazing woman in the middle, I'm going to ask you to trust me. Stay here in this messy part just a little bit longer. This is where the good stuff is, and this will lead you to step three. So to review, step one is to amp up your awareness skills and notice how you're thinking about feeling so stuck. And step two is to notice how you would have to feel to get unstuck and on the other side of it. Now here comes step three. Develop and practice the belief that you can and you will figure out how to get unstuck. So this is a juicy one and it's so powerful. I'm asking you to do this before you have the solution, before you've solved the mystery. Here's the newsflash. You can think what you want. You can think stuff that doesn't help move you forward, and you can think stuff that does help you move forward, and you can say goodbye to feeling so stuck. This is in your control. You just did some hard mindfulness type work. You stayed present and increased your awareness of what was going on up there in step one and two. You created the stuckness, and you can create the unstuckness too. You created the stuckness with your thoughts and feelings, and you can create the unstuckness too. You really can learn how to help yourself get unstuck. Now, don't get me wrong. Getting yourself unstuck probably isn't going to happen overnight. Wouldn't that be nice? For me, I was stuck for 5 years. Can you imagine? And you can absolutely get some help. That's the main thing I do to help my clients. You can absolutely learn the skills and tools to help you do it. But you have to believe that you can do it, that you are meant for more, and that you will figure out how to get there. My clients describe this as a shift in their mindset over time. I love thinking about it this way too, because that's also how it felt for me when I was going through all of this for 5 years. So at the very beginning, I didn't know what the heck was going on. First, I was just kind of blah. Mostly work-related. It spilled over, of course, but a lot of it was work-related. And I thought the solution had to be work-related. Now, I see that it's more than that, but at the time, in the Wayback Machine, that's what was happening. This would have been 15 years ago. So at the beginning of it, I felt blah. I called the feeling unhappy. And then the next insight was that I was no longer content. So unhappy and not being content, they're different. I had the realization that I was confused about what I wanted. I kept using the word confused. I really did feel stuck. Like, I started to use that word too. I'm just so stuck. I asked all my friends what I should do, and I was convinced that they knew better than I did. I honestly believed that one of my smart friends would have some insight that was impossible for me to determine myself. Isn't that strange? I mean, some of my friends I've known for a long time, but I know that input from friends and people who know you well can be very telling, but I really did think that they had the whole answer for me more than I did myself. Then I had another insight. I thought that I had aged out of good opportunities in my career. A big, giant, negative aging-related thought. I was shocked. It took me years to see that one. Years. I thought that I had aged out of good opportunities in my career. So I thought I'd stayed at my job too long and that that would affect me at that age. And I was turning 50 around that time. And I also thought that my age itself, regardless of how long I stayed at this job, was going to be a problem. And I know that that's not earth-shattering, and you may have that same thought, but it was shocking to me. Like, I really thought I was cool about aging, and I thought I was just confused. I had no idea it was a big, giant, negative age-related thought that was spinning around up there, causing problems. That thought was totally bringing me down because I couldn't do anything about my age. You can buy fancy skin cream. You know, I'm always getting the under eye cream. I love that cream. But you can't really do anything about your age specifically. So, but what you can see here is that awareness, thought by thought, feeling by feeling, really starts to help. So I started to dig a little deeper. I asked myself about what I liked. What did I always like? What do I really like? Again, it seems like such a simple question, but I hadn't been thinking about it. The answer was connecting with people and being curious about how they make decisions and behave the way they do. I remember the minute that I wrote it down, I was sitting at my desk at work and I took out a piece of paper. And I'm like, come on, Susie, you can figure this out. You can think of something. And this is what I wrote down, like working directly with people and being curious about how they make decisions and their behavior. Human behavior, it was always the thing for me. And there's tons of evidence in every single level of my education and almost 30 years of work experience that that's what I was always attracted to and curious about. So I started checking some things out. I looked at doing a PhD in psychology, master's degrees in psychology. I looked at becoming a guidance counselor, going into teaching, and all kinds of things. Some really different ideas too, but these were the ones that kept coming up that matched up with that insight about human behavior and working closely with people. Then I started to see that I needed to feel hopeful and more confident that I was moving in the right direction. So then that little epiphany came, that shift. I started to think I was learning to figure it out. Now notice, this is different than my original thought that I had aged out of good employment opportunities. You see this shift? Then I participated in a group with a life coach, and that was it. It all lined up, and I quickly made a decision to pursue getting certified as a life coach because I had done this little bit of work that moved me and shifted me into taking a step. It wouldn't have happened without noticing what I was thinking and how I was feeling, what was working and what wasn't. Now, as you increase your awareness of your thoughts and how they're affecting you emotionally, you can learn to create a bit of distance from them. So you create the distance. Imagine a thought bubble above your head. That's kind of what happens is you separate your thoughts from your actual self. This allows you to appreciate that you aren't actually your thoughts. That's space. I find the thought bubble is the best way to think about it, just like, you know, Fred Flintstone. Now that gives you your power back. This is what helps you unstick yourself, and this is how life coaching can help you. Life coaching is all about becoming aware of your perspective and then stretching it with curiosity. When you really understand all of this, you also see how thinking differently is totally an option for you. You can learn how to challenge your automatic thinking. And this is what step four is all about. Challenge your autopilot thinking. Like I said, learning how to get unstuck is easier with help. It really is. You can absolutely learn to think on purpose, but because you've been thinking a lot of your thoughts for decades now, like, right? How old are you? It can be challenging to see how they are in the gray zone and they aren't necessarily black and white. When we've been thinking stuff so long, we're pretty confident that that's the way it is. But I like to challenge you, really challenge you, to think, is it really true? I like to describe it as we want to give those thoughts some wiggle room. Thoughts can be changed. Thoughts can be tweaked. Thoughts can be challenged. Thoughts can be reconsidered. And that's where things get really interesting. This might be why you like listening to podcasts so much. Self-development podcasts like this one help you think differently. You're exposed to ideas and examples, and it helps you start the process of compassionate curiosity. And as you may know, it is so much easier to do this critical thought work with an experienced coach. Have you worked with a coach? Personally, I've had great experiences as a client myself, digging in and digging around to challenge some of those things that have been kicking around a lot up there, things I'd been thinking that needed some examination. And it's super fun when you're in that safe space to do so. My clients have had huge and meaningful results too. I have a ton of testimonials on my website and have interviewed clients about their experiences too on several episodes and blogs. I'm going to post some in the summary notes if you're curious. And if this is something that you might be interested in as well, please reach out and book a free call. We can talk and see where you're at and how I might be able to help. I promise you, it is a powerful call with no pressure. But I'm telling you now, get ready. You're probably going to learn something. You're going to learn something about yourself. And if this sounds like it's up your alley, don't waste time. Just talk to me. Just talk to me about it, because I know we do have that time urgency thing. So just go to www.talktosusie.com, grab a spot in my calendar, and I will see you in my Zoom square. That's how that works. Anyway, there you have it. I have outlined four steps to solve your midlife happiness mystery. Here they are again. Number one, become aware of what you're thinking now about your midlife stuckness. Number two, think about how you would need to feel to move forward and notice that your current way of thinking, it just isn't helping you feel that way. Step three, develop and practice the belief that you can and you will figure out how to get unstuck. And step four, challenge your autopilot thinking with curiosity. Now, of course, there's more you can do to be specific regarding your actual path forward, but you got to start here. In the end, I don't believe that it's really possible to develop a huge plan with any certainty anyway, because that's not the way life is. But as I've said before in this podcast, it's totally possible to get to the point where you have a high level of confidence about what your next best step is to more happiness in your life. One step. When you do that, that action will lead you to your next best step, especially with your new and improved mindset shift. It works like a charm, and I can't wait for you to solve your own midlife happiness mystery too, because my friend, it's not only fun, but it's also something that you deserve. You deserve to create this kind of life for yourself. And if you need any help, I'm your gal. Okay, that is it for this episode. As you know, this podcast is all about how to love your life again after 50. It's really all about coaching you to become intentional and to incorporate mindfulness into your life as a regular practice. This is how you put yourself on your agenda. My focus as your midlife coach is to help you get unstuck, clear, and focused on your current values and priorities so you don't have regrets. I can help you create the success and happiness you're looking for. Seriously, if you're ready to change your life and learn the skills to unstick yourself with some masterful coaching, a top-notch curriculum, an infusion of creativity, and a warm, fun, and awesome community of like-minded women, let's talk about it. I would love to be able to help you get unstuck and happier and more fulfilled than ever before. So go ahead and book your momentum call at www.womeninthemiddleacademy.com and we will chat. I'm also excited to invite you to amplify your listening experience with the podcast by having more of a book club experience with all of the midlife stuff we're talking about. This is perfect for you when you're craving connecting with more women in the middle. So join the Women in the Middle Podcast Club. Just go to SusieRosenstein.com and click the Podcast Club button, and away you go. And remember, if you're listening in real time, it's on sale. What are you waiting for? And finally, for show notes and links, head over to www.SusieRosenstein.com and click the Podcast tab and look for Episode 352. You'll also see links there for my new show, Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs. So if you want to head over to that, all the info's there too. That's it. Thanks so much for listening. It's time for you to put yourself first, one thought at a time. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you next week.